Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord Christ, as we come together now, we are mindful that your presence is palpable here. That you are felt in the songs we sing and the hugs we share with those around us and in the wonderful gift of hearing your word. Lord Jesus Christ, as you meet us, as you come near this day, in whatever way that it will be meaningful for us in our lives, I ask that you will help us to acknowledge and to know and to be present with you as you are present with us. Call us beyond ourselves into living fully the purpose that you've invited us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, today is the final week of our three-week discipleship fall launch called Back to Basics, Living the Jesus Pattern Up, In, and Out. We've talked about how at the primacy of our relationship with God and relationship with other people is to be intentional about how we are living that up dimension in worship and praise and Bible study and all of the things that bring us closer to our Father, just as Jesus did. We talked last week about the importance of being intentional about how we build community, how we grow our relationships with each other as we foster and share this wonderful gift that we have. And then finally, today we are talking about that third dimension, that it's not something that we hold in here, but something that we take out into our world. And we do that, I believe, in two ways. We go out to serve, and we also go out to invite. One of my favorite descriptions of the Christian comes from Martin Luther's treatise, The Freedom of a Christian, from 1520, where he says, a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. That indeed, the great paradox of the Christian life is that we have been set free to then serve. That we don't have to seek acclamation. We don't have to seek power. We don't have to seek titles. They mean nothing to our relationship with our Lord. For as Mark chapter 10, verse 45 tells us, the Lord came not to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, in our seeking to follow this Jesus, friends, we have been set free in our lives of faith. We have been set free to be humble. We have been set free to show vulnerability. We have been set free to serve one another with loving acts of charity, generosity, and tolerance. I believe he's giving me an amen there, raising your hand. I think he wants to say, yeah, go for it, Pastor Dave. I like that. Keep going. Keep going, Riggs. You see, the reality for us as the people of God is that we live that paradox. You see, so much of the world is trying to tell us to take on titles and power and all these other things. Never become vulnerable. Never put yourself in these risky situations. Don't do that when our Lord is offering us something totally different. But we wonder, I think, how we can ever do that. We know we're supposed to, but how do we do that? We see the great examples. I've often heard people say, well, gosh, how can I be like Mother Teresa? Or how can I be like Desmond Tutu or Martin Luther King or Dietrich Bonhoeffer? I don't think I could ever do that. And my answer is always, nobody's asking you to do that. I dare say I've never had someone say, if you don't live up to the example of Mother Teresa, you failed as a Christian. I mean, it'd be great to. But we often say that, I think, not only because it's intimidating, but I think in some ways, if we say we can't live up to that, then maybe we don't have to do what we can. Every single one of us here has gifts and abilities to be faithful servant leaders. Every single one of you. The blessing of being a Lutheran Christian is that we don't see the world as in and out. We don't see the world as the good and the bad. We see all as our neighbor. Regardless of if we think they're in or out, or whether they're good or bad, they are still our neighbor, and so therefore, the possibilities for service and invitation are boundless. And here's the thing that Luther was so awesome about, and what he taught and helped people understand, is that you don't have to be a religious professional wearing one of these to be a servant of God. In fact, most importantly and most vitally for our world, it is in your everyday roles and responsibilities that you are serving neighbor and God by living and working within those roles and those responsibilities and those spheres of influence to the best of your ability, ethically and honestly and faithfully. When you do that, you are serving God and you are a servant leader. There are contemporary spiritualities that seek to tell you that God is only in your individual feelings and your religious sentiment. That if you can just feel right about God, then everything, that's the pinnacle. That's where it is. But see, that's not what we get biblically. Luther asserted that God calls us and the Christian to the social roles and relationships and the service and the love of those around us. That is what makes us the body of Christ in the world. Whether we're teachers or bus drivers, whether we're janitors or accountants, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or a business executive, you are the hands of God. By doing what you do, whatever that is, honestly, ethically, and to the best of your ability, knowing that by doing so, you are not only serving your neighbor, but you are acting on behalf of God. Please know, brothers and sisters, whatever it is and wherever you are, you are a gift and a unique offering to this world. Embrace it. Know that you have a unique gift that you can offer wherever it is that you offer it. And that is not only enough, that in God's eyes is Mother Teresa kind of work. That in God's eyes is what Desmond Tutu does. That in God's eyes is the work of Bonhoeffer and King. As you do it, where you are being God for them. So often, we wonder what our purpose is. And maybe there are ways that we can serve God outside of those things that we do to make a living. We've talked about this in the past, but we're going to be intentionally talking about this more over the next couple of weeks. On our Bethel website, we have set up a spiritual gift inventory. It's a thing that you can go on and you can answer some questions, and it kind of guides you into a place that perhaps you have this particular spiritual gift. Now, I happen to believe, and I learned this from a pastor friend of mine, Neil Bozy, that at baptism, just as the dove came down, if you look over here, the dove that comes down to Jesus at his baptism, okay? Right over here, you see it? When Jesus was baptized, the dove at the top on the far right, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, gifting Jesus with the gifts that he had. That same thing happened to you. In your baptism, you were gifted by God. You were gifted by God with spiritual gifts. And this is just a way for us to help you maybe find out or hear those in your life. We have set this up and you can look through that. And as we prepare for our ministry celebration Sunday on October 13th, where you are being invited to invest your time and talent in our community of faith, you will be able to, after taking this, say, well, maybe if you came out with these particular spiritual gifts or a tendency toward those, these are maybe areas you might want to consider being in ministry. And they may have nothing at all to do with how you make your living. But the wonderful gift of spiritual gifts is that it invites us to take a risk and to maybe be a little more vulnerable to find out who God is calling us to be. And friends, I know how hard that is. When I was becoming a pastor, the thing that caused me one of the biggest struggles in my life was wearing this collar. Being seen publicly as a person of faith. Now, I didn't know quite how to deal with that. People would stare at me. People would look at me, and I didn't know how I felt about that. It was really, really weird. So how did I get over it? Well, I decided I needed to put myself in a situation that was going to be incredibly, incredibly risk-taking for me and put me in a situation where I was not going to be comfortable at all. So you know what I did? On Sundays after church, I went to watch the Redskins play in a sports bar, and I wore my collar. And I saddled up to that bar, and I ordered some chicken wings, and I sat there while everybody goes, who the heck's the priest that's come up to come watch football? Let me tell you, all the eyes were on me. And it was not comfortable at all. And I just sat there praying, eating my wings, watching the Redskins lose, and tried to get comfortable with people looking at me as a Christian leader. Well, next thing you know, dude to my left, hey, you some kind of priest? I said, well, I'm a Lutheran pastor. Oh, what's the difference? Well, there's a lot of differences. Main one for me is that I can marry somebody. Oh, you can have kids, and we start talking, and throughout the game, oh, you're a Redskins fan. Yeah, oh, poor guy, you know, and we start talking, and then next thing you know, he's telling me about something going on in his life. So I have a conversation with him that first day, and that made it okay. But I knew that I had to go back. So for every Sunday that season that it was possible, I showed back up at that place wearing my collar, eating wings, watching the Skins lose, and talking to people. And I was amazed how after a while of taking that risk, I realized that what I was doing made a difference. I was suddenly not so concerned about wearing the collar. And you know how I found that out? How I knew that I'd maybe made a step in my journey? It was when somebody cut me off and I went past them and I let them know what I thought about that. And then they looked at me like, and I kept driving. I'm like, yeah. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I have my collar on. So if somebody like me who is outgoing by nature, I don't know if you guys know that, but I'm an extrovert, who is planning to be a pastor, and I struggle with what it means to invite and talk to people about their faith in public. If I struggle with that, I know you do. I know it's not easy. But part of being and living that out dimension, it's not simply serving. It's awesome. I'm so glad we serve. We have to. Jesus called us to do that. But in so many ways, we can hide behind that and not take that next step. We can go out and serve all day and not have to risk the way Jesus did, the way he became vulnerable of sharing his faith. I'm not saying for everybody here to put yourself in that situations all the time, but I am saying that there is something to be said. There's something to be learned. There's a growth to be had in your life of faith when you can actually do that. When you can, whatever it is for you, take that risk for Christ. When Jesus said to Peter, when Peter says, "No, you can't wash my feet, Lord," he says, "You don't have a share with me unless you allow me to serve you too." And part of us being in relationship with this world, it's not simply being the people who come to serve and make other people's lives better. That's awesome. But it's also being willing, as the song says, to have the grace to let someone else maybe teach us and serve us too. I call that being a Christian, being confidently vulnerable. Those words may seem paradoxical, but for those who have been freed to serve, it makes perfect sense. You can be confident that in your baptism you have been gifted uniquely as a child of God. This promise is yours this day and every day. Be confident that God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, healing, and fidelity is yours. So confident, in fact, so confident of that promise that you will allow yourselves to be vulnerable with God and each other. Because as we live this promise of Jesus together, as we live the Jesus pattern of up, in, and out, remember that just like Jesus, we have nothing to prove. Only all of ourselves to give. In Jesus' name, amen.